Let us pray. Dear God, whose power, mercy, and sovereignty cannot be matched, please give us insight into this scripture passage. Amen. Matthew 28, 11 to 20. While they were going, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests everything that had happened. After the priests had assembled with the elders, they devised a plan to give a large sum of money to the soldiers, telling them, "You must say, 'His disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep.' If this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So they took the money and did as they were directed. And this story is still told among the Jews to this day. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." This is the word of the Lord.
So that passage that Carlene just read is the grand conclusion to Matthew's gospel, which we've been looking at and going through for some months now. And like a great symphony, the final passage of this gospel reiterates and even expands on themes that we have heard early in the gospel. You've probably noticed this in listening to a symphony before. A musical idea or several musical ideas are introduced early on. They'll be reiterated throughout the piece, and then they'll sound out with new authority as the symphony comes to a close. I heard an example of this just 2 weeks ago. Along with a couple from this church and another friend, I went to see Joel Pargman and Carrie Kennedy perform along with the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra over at Royce Hall at UCLA. They were performing several different pieces, and one of the pieces we got to hear them perform was the Fifth Symphony of Mendelssohn, often called the Reformation Symphony. That symphony, the fourth movement, begins with the tune "To a Mighty Fortress Is Our God," first played by the flutes. And then that theme is reiterated later, that da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You can't miss it. Midway through the piece, we heard it again, this time played by the string section. Then about three-quarters of the way through, we heard it from the horns. And then finally, at the conclusion, in the very last section, all of the orchestra joined together along with percussion to blast out, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." That has been called the great hymn, or one of the great hymns of the Reformation. And it's credited to Martin Luther, the German reformer. It said that he wrote that. So it makes sense that that Fifth Symphony of Mendelssohn would be called the Reformation Symphony, and "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God" would be such a pronounced theme spoken with authority at the close. In the Gospel of Matthew, if it were a symphony, you can spot at least two different musical themes that were introduced earlier on in the Gospel, but are then pronounced with new authority when we get to that final passage that Carlene read. One of those great motifs is the authority of Christ. There's this recurring theme in Matthew that God's rule was evident in Jesus. We hear this motif in the very first words Jesus speaks in his public ministry: repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. We hear it when Jesus calms a storm and the disciples marvel at his authority. We hear this theme when Jesus teaches from up on a mountain like a Moses, presenting to the people the commands of God. We hear it when Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a colt and a donkey, reiterating Zechariah's vision of a promised king of Israel. This Jesus speaks, acts, rules with the very authority of God, and he shows us what God's rule looks like. The hungry are fed, the sick are healed, the poor receive good news, the high and mighty are brought low, especially when they oppress others. This is God's rule. We read in the Hebrew Scriptures and see enacted in Christ through Matthew's gospel. The focus of Jesus' ministry and authority had been local, had been to the lost sheep of Israel. But in the very close of Matthew's gospel, it's like all the orchestra joins in, percussion and all, and we hear Jesus say, "All authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me." Motif one, God's rule is evident in Christ. But there's a second great theme or motif that comes out in this closing to Matthew's gospel, and it's one we've heard long before, and it can be summed up in a word: go. Go. We first heard that theme at the very start of Jesus' ministry, when Jesus said to Simon and Andrew, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." We heard it in chapter 10 when Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and said to them, "Go. Go proclaim the good news. Go cure the sick. Go cast out evil. Go." And that motif goes back even further still to the Hebrew Scriptures and the call on Abraham and Sarah. Go. Go out into the world. Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. We heard it in the prophet Isaiah as God said to the prophet in the temple, "Go and say to this people the words I will give you." This motif in Matthew, go and minister, go and speak God's word, go and fish for people. It's played with grand authority at the close of Matthew's gospel. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Motif one, God's rule is evident in Christ, now in the risen Christ. Motif two, go and make disciples, now not just to the lost sheep of Israel, but all people. Two clear themes, right? God's rule in Christ, go out as his disciples. How could you miss it? But sometimes it's hard to hear those themes, at least in the story of our lives today. Discipleship as we know it, discipleship as we see it play out in the Gospel of Matthew, it's often a struggle to find the theme. We read of how Jesus performs a miracle or tells a parable or reveals something about himself to the disciples, and they're confused. They don't hear the motif. Jesus calms a storm. The disciples wonder aloud, "What sort of man is this that even the winds and sea obey him?" When he tells a parable of the sower and the seed, then they ask Jesus, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" They ask Jesus to explain his teaching to them, to explain the parables. They don't get it. They hear words but wonder what the theme might be. When Peter hears Jesus talk about going to Jerusalem and getting killed, Peter says to Jesus, "God forbid you should do that." That's missing the theme. And Jesus responds, "Get behind me, Satan." Even in today's passage, at the very close, we read that the disciples worshiped Jesus, but some doubted. As the symphony of Matthew's gospel draws to a close, some disciples are still struggling to find the theme. And I don't know about you, but I find it easy to empathize with the disciples, not only in doubting, but in struggling sometimes to hear the theme of Christ's call in our lives today. For too often, we find it difficult to hear those motifs because we hear so many other messages, so many other themes swimming in our ears. We hear other motifs playing in our world, like all authority on heaven and on earth has been given to those with wealth, or all authority has been given to those who hold positions of religious or political power, or who have the right family connections, or who have the most Instagram followers. And we miss, or we just forget, that great motif of Matthew: all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, says Jesus. Or like the disciples, maybe it's the second motif that we struggle with: go, go and make disciples of all nations. We may want to stay at Jesus' feet and adore him, worship him, listen to him, but dare not go out and heal. Dare not go out and cast out evil, speak truth. We dare not go out to invite others to engage in the discipleship journey with us, to worship Christ with us. We can miss that great motif, go. We can struggle as disciples to hear the theme, to hear God's word to us in Christ and what it means for us today. I wish it were as clear as it was in listening to Mendelssohn's Fifth Symphony two Sundays ago. You couldn't miss "A mighty fortress is our God." But sometimes it's not so clear. Sometimes it's like hearing another piece that the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra performed 2 weeks ago, a symphony by Arnold Schoenberg, his second chamber symphony. And throughout that piece, I struggled to find the theme. I don't know if you've heard Schoenberg before. I was first introduced to this composer back when I took a music composition class in college. I was introduced to him and other modern composers like Bartok, Stravinsky. Their music I found compelling, and I could hear the theme in it. Schoenberg never did. But I thought, I'm going to give him a chance. I'm going to go to this concert, I'm going to listen to him with an open mind and see what shows up. And I thought maybe a theme, a motif, a melody would emerge to my ear, that it would be kind of like those magic eye images. You remember those? You'd look at them for long enough and relax your eyes in just the right way, and a 3D image would pop out to you. By the way, I was never able to see those because it turns out I needed corrective lenses, didn't get them until my early 40s. Then suddenly I could see them all. I went back and just went magic eye crazy. Before, I'd look at a mall and I'd stare there for like 10, 15, I'm like, I'm not getting it. And that's what it felt like listening to Schoenberg the other night. It's like, I just can't hear the theme emerging. And sometimes it seems to me discipleship can be like that. We struggle to hear or truly believe that first motif, that all authority on heaven and on earth truly rests in Christ. Because it sure seems like other powers are in charge. Politicians who will do whatever it takes to get them elected. Military authority that can invade a country like Ukraine and cause extraordinary suffering. Or that can do battle with other military powers, as we're seeing playing out right now in South Sudan. Our ears can miss that grand theme that all authority in earth and on heaven is somehow seated in a crucified and risen Savior who said, "The last shall be first, and the first shall be last." Or maybe it's the second motif we struggle to hear, go. Go and make disciples. Go, baptize, and teach. We struggle to hear that call, or we wonder what it might sound like for us to play that tune. In a couple weeks, our congregation's leadership, the staff, elders, and deacons will be gathering, as we often will in the spring, for a retreat. And we usually use that time to listen, to try to find the theme, the motif, as it relates to God's call to discipleship, the kind of call we heard Carlene read about from Matthew's gospel. But we listen for how God might want us to enact that, what it might look like for us. Some years back, Todd Bolsinger worked with our leadership to help us identify that in a mission statement, which is essentially finding the theme as it relates to Christ's call. And as you know, if you've been a part of that mission statement process before, it can take some time, some wandering in the wilderness, some wondering, some listening. And eventually we heard this emerge as our mission, inviting thoughtful seekers to intergenerational community and discipleship in the world. Inviting thoughtful seekers to intergenerational community and Christian discipleship in the world. In a few weeks, we'll be gathering for retreat again to listen and try to discern how that theme might play out today as a church emerging, as so many are, from a period of time where we've had to wrestle with the pandemic. Now is a new time in history. What does it look like to live out our call, the call of Christ today? To proclaim his authority and to go. It can be hard to hear that music, to find that theme. It can be hard as a congregation, and it can be hard as individuals. My daughter is getting set to head to college in the fall, and as she's made preparations for that, I've begun remembering, as maybe you have too, I know a number of other high school seniors in this church are getting set for that move, and you've recalled your own time in college. I remember it well. And my freshman and sophomore year, while there were wonderful experiences, great new people I met, there was also a feeling something like listening to Schoenberg's Second Chamber Symphony, you know? I wasn't sure what my major was. I thought I knew, and then that one really didn't fit, and I wasn't sure what the right major would be. Wasn't sure what my vocation might be, what my job might be. I was definitely not sure who my life partner might be. And wasn't even sure for those years exactly who my peeps were, who my close friends would be. It was kind of a sense of being unmoored, of listening, of trying to grasp on to some kind of theme or direction that might center me or ground me. I trusted in Christ at this point, believed he must have a plan, but somehow how that touchdown into my life eluded me in those years. And I know what you're saying. You're saying, yes, you got to go through that process. All right. But it's not much fun sometimes, you know, when you're trying to listen and that image just doesn't pop out at you. I love how Parker Palmer writes about this process in his book, Let Your Life Speak, Let Your Life Speak, a great title of a book. And he talks about a time when he was 35 years old and struggled to find the theme. He'd spent the past 5 years as a community organizer in Washington, D.C., and teaching sociology at Georgetown, and he was burned out. He'd been a community organizer and a professor, an activist, and an intellectual, and yet he didn't really feel at home in either of those worlds. He had this growing feeling that he was living a life that was not his own. Have you ever felt like that? Like you're living a life that was not your own? He didn't just want a new job, though he did want that. He wanted a deeper congruence between his inner life and his outer life, a deeper sense of what God meant for him, what it looked like for him to trust in Christ and live out the discipleship call. He previously spent time at Union Theological Seminary thinking maybe he was called to pastoral ministry, but mediocre grades and massive misery convinced him, nope, that's not it. Community organizing, professoring, he still couldn't find the theme. So he took a year-long sabbatical at a Quaker community called Pendle Hill outside Philadelphia. This was a group of maybe 70 people committed to education on the inner life and to nonviolent social change in the outer life. It was a community of prayer, of study, and community. And since it was Quaker, a big commitment to discernment. When he arrived, he shared his quandary with others, wondering what his life purpose was, where he fit. And the Quakers gave him a classic Quaker response: have faith and way will open. Have faith and way will open. He did not like this advice. He did not find it helpful, but he found it true. Later, he would look back on that time at Pendle Hill, 1 year that turned into nearly a decade, and he would say that that was a time he was discovering a motif that had been there all along. It was the call to teach, whatever he did, community organizing, professor, ministry in whatever form it took, family, church, that call to teach was a crucial part of who he was. And there at Pendle Hill, he was learning a new way to teach, a new form of education, connecting the inner life with the outer life. That's what God had been at work in him at Pendle Hill. He just didn't see it at the time. Now, writing about it, looking back on it, it jumps out to him like that magic eye image, or like that motif or theme in a symphony that seems so clear later. He just didn't see it at the time. Sometimes the discipleship journey is like that, isn't it? We cling to Christ. We go where we think he's sending us, unsure what the grand theme might be, and we listen. We follow that great Quaker advice, have faith and way will open. And then one day, we hear it and wonder how we ever missed it. Well, this last week, I finally gave Schoenberg's Second Chamber Symphony a final listen. It's like, I'm not going to give up on this. And the reason I gave it another listen is last Sunday, I went to Joel and Carrie, having heard this great concert, and I told them, oh, this was wonderful. You know, thanks for inviting us. Explain to me Schoenberg. So Carrie said, yeah, you know, Schoenberg's tough. That really put my heart at ease. Okay, I'm not the only one who struggles with Schoenberg. But then Joel said something. He said, you know, it's helpful for me that Schoenberg presents motifs that then get traded around from one instrumental section to the other. And I said, wait, there's actually a motif to be heard in Schoenberg, a couple motifs? He said, oh yeah, okay. I thought, I'm going to find this. So I went back, and maybe on the second listen, it was like, there they are. It began with the flutes right at the start, and then as the string section come in, some 32nd a second theme comes up, and then they're both played again later in the piece, and then about three quarters through, we hear yet other instruments playing, and then finally at the conclusion, those two motifs are played with authority. And I think to myself, how did I miss that? It was right there all along. I just needed ears to hear. I needed to have faith, and way will open. Here, friends, the great theme of today's text, in Christ God's rule is at work, go and minister in Christ's name. And what does that look like for you? What does it look like for us, this orchestra that is Knox Presbyterian Church? To that question, hear the great Quaker counsel, have faith. And way will open. Have faith, listen, and you may just find the theme. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, amen.